this is Agenda Awani. I'm bringing you a very special episode today because just moments ago, a few rooms away, Petronas and Mercedes-AMG F1 announced that they are extending a long-standing partnership beyond 2025. And joining me today is Datuk Tengku Muhammad Taufik, President and Group CEO of Petronas, and Mr. Toto Wolff, Team Principal and CEO of the Mercedes-AMG Petronas Formula One team. It is an absolute pleasure to have both of you here. Well, first of all, congratulations on the announcement just some moments ago. Can you talk about that? Because the existing contract right now between the two is supposed to end 2025. What is the reason of announcing it right now when it's not going to come into effect until in a few years' time?
Our partnership has been so strong over the years also because we were planning ahead of times. And in 2026, there is a completely new fuel formula that's going to kick in with 100% sustainable fuel. We have started to develop the power units, and therefore, knowing that we will be continuing well into this period until 2030 is hugely important to kind of maintain the advantage in competitiveness that we had so far.
All right. So can we talk about that extended partnership? Will there be any difference in terms of strategy, a mission? What does Petronas see in this partnership?
From a Petronas perspective, we're not seeing this as just a sponsorship. This has got some deep history behind it. We have been, time flies when you're doing so well, we have been with the team together for 12 years, and I think stretching the partnership well into the end of this decade, hopefully, just cements our commitment and conviction that indeed as this new challenge of developing a sustainable fuel is given to teams, we need to do this together. And I think the loyalty and longevity as well as the performance that has been attributable to all the components of this team coming together and performing on track, I mean, the results speak for themselves. The number of victories, we were just reminded, 115 victories already and 8 consecutive championships. We're looking at being able to emulate this as we deal with far more demanding regulations as the race and F1 itself, maybe Toto will be able to comment on that, becomes more sustainable. And the team has had significant say in how that sustainable future for F1 will be.
I do want to talk about the new mandate by 2026 in terms of sustainable fuel. But I also would like to point out that the partnership is probably by far the most successful F1 partnership so far. You mentioned some successes, 8 constructors' titles, 7 drivers' titles.
Yep.
What do you think is the secret to this long and blissful partnership that you both have here?
You want to start, Toto?
Blissful. there is relationships in sports, and Taufik called it sponsorships. And I think the sport is, of course, depending on sponsorship, but what we are doing together is not a sponsorship. It started as a marketing cooperation, but with the factor of the fuel and oil that is so hugely important. But particularly going into 2014 with brand new regulations, the new power unit and the new fuels were the winning formula between the two of us. So the marketing is almost like the icing on the cake today, because we developed the best fluids and we develop hopefully the best engines and racing cars together. And it is so important for both of us to have the continuity in these relationships. We couldn't imagine to be with anybody else. It would not be authentic. Petronas Green is the racing color of the whole of Mercedes-AMG Group. So hopefully we can take this sponsorship, we can continue to take it from strength to strength. And who knows, maybe we look back in 30 years and we're still going strong. It's sports, we're going good, we're doing bad, but the values are just so common and we enjoy the partnership. Mm-hmm.
Can you then talk about what's going to happen now up till 2026 in terms of collaboration, and also what is going on right now with R&D and field development? If you can just give us an insight into what can we expect.
Well, as Toto has mentioned, when 2014 the first regulations came out, there was already a synergy and a symbiotic relationship between both the power unit as well as the fluid technology solutions. Maybe since I'm on Astro, I just need to point out to many Malaysians still wondering, the guys in our fluid technology solutions form part of the solutions that have delivered the kind of performance you've seen on track. I want to impress upon them that translates to what you see eventually into road-going vehicles. You've often described this as the best living and the most rigorous lab for testing these fuels. I mean, you are trackside, you see results almost immediately. We translate those findings to get the team to perform better. But more importantly now, as we go head on into 2026, the demand for us to provide the team and eventually road-going drivers a more sustainable solution is far more a compelling ask, and it's an obligation almost to respond to this in the most effective way. And who better to do it with a partner that knows our needs and we know what they want to develop.
Now, just a bit of background to our audience who may not know. Formula One cars are mandated to use only sustainable fuel by 2026 under new regulations. That's why we're talking about sustainable fuel and this partnership. Talk to us, Dan, about Mercedes-AMG. How are you gearing up for that?
Yeah, it's a revolution. The world is going, you can see the auto industry is going electric, but being part of the energy transition, particularly considering the fact there will be 1.5 billion or more cars on the road by 2030 that will run combustion engines, and therefore what we are doing together, we are testing and racing those fuels in the most competitive auto sport in the world, and hopefully that will translation into pump fuel that is available for all the mass users on the road. And this is also the mandate to the governing body that this is not going to be some kind of exotic small volume high performance fuel, but this should be compatible with anybody's road car out there. So what we're doing is an R&D high tech laboratorium for deployment onto the billions of vehicles.
And I think for the 2022 season, there is the transition is happening already.
You're already
at this point
on
E10, time,
right?
E10 fuel, correct? If you can talk a bit about that and lessons that you know both have learned from using this new form of fuel and leading up to 2026.
Okay, I will share this response to this answer. But I, as a team, when we deal with a challenge of moving this quickly, and 2026 is a hard deadline, you've got to respond as one group. We can't see it as a distinct fluid technology solutions endeavor or a power unit endeavor. What one major lesson, and I think we've incorporated this as we go forward, is that we are now working closer as one group rather than the two distinct parties trying to solve for each other. This is probably going to be the largest change in the way that this partnership evolves as we reach the 2026 hard red line. Insofar as the test, the drivers are going to tell us you still need to maintain the power, you still need to maintain the reliability we heard from Lewis earlier, and this whole cocktail of fluid solutions needs to be put into a car.
Okay, how is it impacting the effectiveness and how are you adjusting to this E10?
E10 was the first step, first small step into the much more important future in 2026. But even the 10% ethanol component bears risk of not being competitive against our enemies. So therefore, we've already worked closely on bringing in the 2022 E10 fuel. But I think, as Taufik mentioned, it becomes super important to really be interlinked as much as we can between the organizations to come up with a fuel, oil, and power unit that can be class leading in 2026. And that's why we are so happy how we have set up the organizations going into the future.
And I think this ties to the bigger picture, like Taufik mentioned earlier, how the world is, where the world is heading. And I think F1 being the world's most technology-driven sport, you know, the technologies developed within the four walls of all the F1 teams, they trickle down to other industries and eventually, hopefully, benefiting users such as me on the road instead of just the racetrack. If we can talk a bit about that, how do you envision F1 playing a bigger role in net carbon?
Okay. If I attempt to look at a lower carbon future holistically, what F1 offers us, it starts with the sustainable fuel, but there's going to be other technology solutions. We already now use products which are already deployed Tutela for the transmission, and you have the fuels going into the car, and we have a whole range of lubricants which have benefited from the learnings. These make emissions less of a problem as we hopefully go forward and contend with the harsh fact that you're going to have still over 1 billion cars on the road. While the shift to EVs is anticipated to be almost inevitable, I don't think the time frame is as aggressive. And realistically, there are other things such as infrastructure charging, which Petronas is also looking at. But we, as we deal with this transition, Petronas needs to position itself as a superstore. So how does this help F1? He mentioned this in an earlier question and answer session. It just doesn't go into the car. We're also dealing with a whole spectrum of solutions around logistics, sustainable aviation fuels. Petronas, in responding to the sustainable fuels, will probably go into a green biorefinery project. In fact, steps have already commenced towards that outcome. We will also deal with hydrogenated vegetable oils. We'll also look at more circular use of waste cooking oil. All of this in order to create far more sustainable solutions, not only for the automotive sector, but also as we transport the machinery that is F1. And of course, the team has already alluded, we'd like to look at more of those solutions together.
Interesting you point that out, because I was reading in a report, the audit on carbon emission from Formula One. Almost half of it is from logistics, transporting people, cars, from air, land, and sea. And in fact, less
about your carbon offsets.
Less than 1% is actually from the race or testing, you know, during the race. So talk to us about that. You know, how are you seeing this?
We as a team, we are extremely proud to leading the charge in the industry. We are carbon neutral with our facility. We get 100% of our energy supplies from green sources. We are planning to add back into the grid with a solar farm that we are building. But obviously our cooperation, like Taufik mentioned, goes in a major way into logistics. Our emissions come from commute, be it on the road or people and freight in the air. And that's why we have already a while ago started to offset against sustainable aviation fuel, but now we are going into the proper product together and trying to fuel as much of our charters with sustainable aviation fuel. We made a test onto fueling with HVO our trucks, which can be an area, with the aim of having the team by 2030 carbon zero, which is a huge aim. And why I'm so proud also in what we do, our sport is a global sport. We have 24 races around the world. So in a way, it's almost counterintuitive that you say, how can the sport be role modeling lesser emissions? And what I'm saying, if we are able to drive, fly, and do our sport with the lowest possible emission, and the trial that we made with the trucks in Europe reduced our emissions by 89%, which is considerable, any other industry can follow us. Because us flying around the world and being in an emission-limited way, that means anybody else can do it also.
I understand that Petronas, as a group, also has its hard target, 2050. If you can talk to us about, you know, how are you planning to achieve that, and what are strategies in place across your business units, your supply chain, to hit that target? And well, I think to expedite that sense of urgency, I think is what most companies are facing right now.
Look, as an energy player, we're very, very much committed to fulfilling our purpose, becoming a progressive energy and solutions provider. And we say to people, we want a sustainable future while enriching lives. We see this as a challenge to the energy industry. We're not only going to see ourselves as a problem. We need to be part of the solution. F1 is one fantastic lab to showcase that. But in Petronas' own journey to get to net zero by 2050, all the low-hanging fruits within these next 5 years, it's coming soon. I'm probably going to preempt this announcement, but it's coming soon. There's going to be a full transition roadmap that's going to be disclosed to the general populace of Malaysia and the world for them to see the hard targets, the kind of carbon intensity that we need to deliver, not over 2050, but in hard short-term targets that we need to actually deliver. In fact, one's already out. By 2024, we've committed to ensure that we reach only 49.5 million tons of CO2. But bringing that down will require reduction efforts. You're giving me a platform to even say, I need to invest in this, and I hope people are listening. Running oil and gas as usual is no longer an option. I've got to invest in decarbonization. I've got to make sure energy efficiency is there. Again, he may be the beneficiary of that. But as an operation, if you're going to do this responsibly in a just way, energy transition has got to be planned out year by year, and a commitment to investing, changing the way we operate, changing how we bring products and services to the consumers such as yourselves.
All right. I think this is also in line with what the Formula One sport itself wants. Of course, there has been criticism in the past. You mentioned a few earlier, you know, it's a 22-20 race season. You move around a lot, carbon emissions. How do you see that partnership to bring value to you?
I think it's very easy to, when you're not looking deep enough, to dismiss any kind of activity where you move. Probably we have the least carbon emission if we all stay at home. We are not going to sports events. We are not traveling for business or private. But that's not realistic, and therefore we can use our prototype sport, where we are doing small volumes, high tech, to create technologies that we can then adopt in the mass market. And I think it's very good to see that the industry, us together, Petronas and Mercedes, we see this as an opportunity to reduce our emissions and the emissions of our end users in the future. We are investing considerable time and amount into developing these solutions, and hopefully the world will benefit from it.
Can you talk a bit about the development, the solutions? What is keeping you excited?
The good thing is, for me, Formula One, what makes it so exciting, it's at the crossroad of sport and business. Fundamentally, our sport is very honest and fair. Maybe not Abu Dhabi last year, but the stopwatch never lies.
Yep. Yeah.
And you know, in politics or in finance, you can always make up things and find explanations. In our sport, you're either fast or you're slow. And then combine it with the business angle and the opportunities that we create here by actually doing good and creating high tech is something that personally excites me a lot and everybody else in the team.
What about you, Delphine?
I mean, look at the association with Petronas with Formula One stretches very far back. But just looking at this partnership, if you're looking at delivering what is going to be the sustainable promise? All I'm saying here is if you are contending with an existential challenge that you cannot tackle alone, exactly, I want to echo what Toto is saying. It's not just the producer or the supplier. It is the consumer, the way they behave. And what better lab to test it out on other than the world's most demanding sport such as F1, where everything, technology, athleticism, the kind of reflexes that is unheard of in the human species, converge together and offer a spectacle, which then promotes also outcomes that impact industry and business at large. These are not easy outcomes, but F1 is such a fantastic platform for it.
Well, you brought up demanding. Of course, Toto has a reputation for having very high standard. Let's talk about that, because you know it seems really hard for other teams to match the kind of achievement that we have seen. Like I mentioned, 8 constructors or world championships. What is your view on this?
There is no sports team in the world that has pushed the needle as far as 8. But you also need to always remember that there is a lot of good people that are pushing hard to break that cycle. And this year, that's happened. And we knew it's going to happen. And now, at a certain stage, and now it's about how are we actually managing the situation? How strong is our immune system, the values of the company, to actually rise again? Now, we're not talking about a catastrophic season. We're third quickest team, and we are right there. But it will be important how we recover, together. And therefore, we are really demanding against ourselves. We have a no-blame culture, like we share. Therefore, mistakes are allowed. The bad days are the ones where you improve the most, as painful as they are. And we just don't like losing.
Okay, how do you keep your team at the top for 8 years now? Usually, when you're at the top for so long, complacency sets in.
I think I haven't seen complacency in our sport because it's just too painful to lose. Losing on Sunday, the bad feeling lasts at least until Thursday. Winning is gone on Monday morning. So we're trying to, it's basically avoiding the feeling of pain. But this sport attracts high-performance individuals, high-performance partners, and therefore it's just not acceptable for us in the long term to not be there whilst not feeling that sense of entitlement that I mentioned before. Everybody else is trying very hard. They are competitive. So values are an integral part, and I haven't seen certainly any complacency.
All right. Taufik, I mean, running a company as big as Petronas is definitely not easy, especially if it's also a government-linked company managing interests, you know, of the public and also shareholders. Do you use the same methods? Do you have the similar mindsets as Toto when it comes to running a company?
I think there are many inferences. I think there are many leadership lessons that we have shared with each other in our conversations. But when you deal with such a diverse set of stakeholders and stakeholder demands, you need to learn who you need to service. And this is where Petronas increasingly has to pivot towards a much more amplified customer mindset. That's number one. But as I think just echoing and maybe duplicating the sentiment, for me personally and for the wider Petronas management team, I think the challenge for sustainable fuels is the one that strikes a chord with us, because you don't want someone else to get there first. As you've pointed out, it's 1.3, 1.4 billion vehicles. There are markets clamoring for this solution, not only because it's a good solution, but it's good business. Sustainability is good business at the end of the day. While we balance the diverse demands upon an institution, I call Petronas Institution for Malaysians, we must make sure that even as we churn out performance today, there is no room to be complacent, because the challenges of tomorrow and this very, very demanding and daunting energy transition can indeed spell life or death for an enterprise. So if we don't respond in the right way, have the right balance sheets to go, as he brings a fantastic car, I have to bring a nice balance sheet to cope with the future. I've got to have the right talents, same as him. You've got the best in the business. Hold on to them, Toto. So I think the parallels are very, very similar. But in so far as execution, I echo his sentiment. You're up against yourself.
I have 2 minutes left on this show. Final question to Toto. Some actually has wondered, do you have any pre-race rituals before going onto the racetrack?
I'm not sitting in the car. Yes, I do. On the Sunday, it's a high-pressure environment. And I try to take myself out in that final 60 minutes before the race, which may sound weird, but I have lunch alone in my office. It's buzzing out there. Lots of people want to talk to you in the media, but this is the kind of 60 minutes I take myself out completely. And from that moment on, my mindset is in the race, and basically everything happens on autopilot. I sit in my usual space and try to have an impact and try to provide good input into how the race deploys.
And Taufik, do you have any pre-meeting rituals, especially going into high-pressured ones?
Is it alone?
Well, my team tends to wean me off the coffee because I may get a bit too excitable. But on a serious note, I think going to every meeting and dealing with a market and an industry which is now so fluid, so much in flux, given the unfortunate geopolitics as well as industry dynamics we face, there's always a need for objectivity, facts, and data to drive your decisions. Sentiment is one thing, but there are decisions that will survive you and decisions that other people look back and determine whether did they make the right call. Now, his is measured in milliseconds. Unfortunately for Petronas, for a generation of Malaysians, your results are measured over decades. So the right call may be seen as the wrong call at the time, but it will evolve to deliver and perform as its life unfolds.
Well, thank you, gentlemen. It's been an absolute pleasure speaking to our both of you. And best of luck for the upcoming Singapore race and the rest of the season, of course. And I'd like to end by saying, Semoga berjaya is our national language. It means may you succeed.
Thank you very much.
For season 2022. It's been a pleasure. Thank you so much. Thank you for tuning in to Agenda Awani. I'm Sintiung, signing off, and see you next time.